Welcome, everybody, to today's podcast for lessons learned and challenges faced related to the adoption of ASU 2018-12, accounting for long-duration contracts, targeted improvements referenced throughout this podcast as LDTI. The updates from LDTI are aimed at making improvements to the existing recognition, measurement, presentation, and disclosure requirements for long-duration contracts issued by an insurance entity. My name is Erica Stein, and I'm a managing director in our accounting advisory services practice, focusing specifically on assisting our clients, audit and non-audit, in the adoption of the standard. I have Emily Cassidy with me here today, who is a managing director in our actuarial practice and is an insurance accounting change co-leader, where she leads the development and delivery of client solutions. LDTI was effective for SEC filers except small reporting companies for annual periods beginning after December 15, 2022, and all other companies are required to adopt in annual periods beginning after December 15, 2024. This podcast is being presented to summarize certain public companies' observations of the adoption process and experiences in the first year of implementation. SEC filers were required to adopt LDTI during the first quarter ending March 31st, 2023. We conducted a survey including public companies, and the responses are utilized throughout this podcast, summarizing survey results of lessons learned and challenges experienced in LDTI adoption, understanding that these may evolve as implementation continues throughout 2023. For this podcast, we surveyed 12 public companies that were required to adopt LDTI in 2023. Throughout today's podcast, we will be walking you through lessons learned related to the topics of financial reporting close, data, management reporting, internal controls, and tips for implementation. So the first topic we're going to discuss is related to financial reporting close. The questions that were posed related to this topic were, did LDTI impact or complicate the close schedule? Was the company able to appropriately discuss and give explanations for fluctuations and results related to the impact of LDTI? Overall, there were delays in the close schedule in the first quarter of adoption. This is not unexpected with a significant accounting change. Themes of the drivers of these delays were related to issues with subsidiary reporting, delays in receiving information from TPAs, late adjusting entries, model refinements, and continued resource constraints. Certain companies with significant subsidiary reporting noted delays in reporting to the parent. However, the more significant challenge related to the required data and data element for financial statement consolidation and disclosures. In some instances, companies had data and data elements defined at the consolidated level. However, subsidiaries were not subject to the same rigor and validation during the implementation and/or dry run process. Companies that do have significant TPA relationships noted delays in receipt of required financial data and specific elements that were required for the financial reporting process. Companies continue to face resource challenges, which has been an issue throughout the entire LDTI implementation journey. More than one company had key personnel turnover either during the implementation process or the adoption leading to late hires. These late hires and or late additions to the team added to the delay in the close schedule. As all insurance companies are aware, first quarter typically also lines up with statutory reporting. Some companies experience competing priorities related to statutory reporting deadlines, and they did not have the resources to efficiently execute both Q1 and their statutory reporting at the same time. During the first quarter, companies faced challenges related to appropriately and effectively explaining fluctuations and results related to the impact of LDTI. The new required disclosures are intended to improve the decision-useful information provided to the users for long-duration contracts. The standard requires expanded disclosures for annual and interim reporting periods to allow users to understand the amount, timing, and uncertainty of cash flows related to long-duration contracts. Companies are required to disclose quantitative information in Roll 4s of the liability for future policy benefits, market risk benefits, deferred acquisition costs, policyholder account balances, and additional liabilities for annuitization, death, or benefits, and potentially DAC-like balances if the new simplified DAC model is elected, for example, value of business acquired and deferred gains. as well as information about the significant inputs, judgments, assumptions, and methods used in measurements. The FASB's intention is to provide meaningful information without including a large amount of insignificant detail or aggregating items with significantly different characteristics. Certain companies found it challenging to formulate and give robust explanations of data and results. Some even noted challenges in explaining the capped versus uncapped cohorts as it relates to the net premium ratios. Related specifically to the new required disclosures previously mentioned, some companies found it challenging to discuss and give reasonable explanations of the fluctuations of and comparability of certain disclosures as a result of the lack of comparable information for certain periods. In certain instances, companies had to implement new valuation systems as part of the adoption process. This created challenges in obtaining the level of detail needed in the financial reporting process. Lastly, many companies had manual processes or controls that slowed the close process where they had automation in the pre-LDTI environment. We will discuss future improvements on a later topic in this presentation. Continuing on to the next topic, we are going to talk about financial reporting close successes, where before we talked about the challenges that companies faced. And you'll notice a theme throughout the entire podcast that companies that executed multiple parallel or dry runs in advance of adoption had the least amount of delays and issues during the quarter close. Performing parallel and dry runs allowed these companies to sort out the potential close issues and resolve them prior to adoption. Some companies performed dry runs of the restated periods well in advance of the adoption date, which allowed not only the company to run their process, but also produce and restate balances in advance of running the 2023 live balances. Lastly, this allowed the auditor to also walk through the process with management during the dry runs and accelerate their testing of the restated periods. As noted previously, resources continued to be a hot topic and strain for companies as they worked through the adoption and implementation journey. Companies that overcame or counteracted this constraint hired third-party consultants where they had resource gaps and/or dedicated specific resources to the adoption of LDTI. While some noted the new required disclosures created challenges in explaining fluctuations for comparable periods, it was also noted that the new disclosures were helpful in the illustration, interpretation, and explanation of results. The new disclosures illustrated and gave more transparency to what drove the fluctuations in the disclosed balances. As most listening to this podcast know, the adoption and implementation of LDTI is not a simple task. It has been observed to be beneficial to have an integrated project plan to ensure all impacted departments in the organization are included, as well as to incorporate any parallel or dry runs into the project plan itself. Now I'm going to hand it over to Emily to discuss the next topic of data as it relates to disclosures, reporting, and actuarial, after which we will discuss successes companies experience related to data during the first quarter. Emily?
Thanks, Erica. The next section summarizes certain challenges public companies faced during the first quarter of LDTI implementation, specifically related to data. Questions that we posed related to this topic were, did any issues arise related to the enhanced disclosure requirements or the data used within the disclosures? Were there any challenges related to data used within actuarial valuation related to LDTI? Some noted that compiling the disclosures took a significant amount of work and more time than anticipated, even when they had performed dry runs. Consistent with the topic of financial reporting, more resources were needed than originally anticipated to complete the disclosures. As a result of the adoption of LDTI, new data had to be collected and organized differently than pre-LDTI reporting. The disclosures required different data attributes and granularity. Therefore, companies had to take a fresh look at both their data and data attributes from policy application through to financial reporting. Obtaining the data posed challenges for most companies. A challenge that could be argued as a positive was that the new disclosures increased internal dialogue between management and stakeholders. The interpretation and understanding of the results and management's explanations of the activity posed additional challenge and lengthened the close timeline internally. Some companies had challenges related to how to disclose specific items that are not explicitly included or illustrated in the FASB taxonomy. Examples of some of these items are model updates, flooring of the LFPB reserve, and foreign currency impacts. The guidance has different required disclosures for the transition period versus ongoing disclosures. Some noted that this led to confusion as to what to include where and which disclosures will be consistent period over period versus only at transition. Next, we will discuss data-related challenges related to reporting. As mentioned before, data had to be collected and organized differently than pre-LDTI reporting. As a result of needing to obtain data in different formats or obtain additional or modified data attributes, this also impacted the reports used throughout the financial reporting process. Pre-LDTI configurations or automated reporting had to be modified to accommodate the new data and data attribute needs, which caused additional challenges in having to reconfigure reports or create all new reporting. Within the same vein, the new attributes that were required had to be tagged within the appropriate system from the beginning of the process through to financial reporting, which took additional time working backwards from what was required within financial reporting and the required disclosures. When companies had consolidated subsidiaries or significant TPA relationships, there were challenges in the timeliness of obtaining the data attributes required for reporting. As we all know, in the insurance industry, systems can be outdated, especially administrative systems. With accounting change, there is an opportunity for companies to explore updates of potentially outdated systems. Specifically, in some instances, the pre-LDTI valuation system or systems could not produce the data or calculations required by the new standard. The modernization of systems for some companies created additional hurdles related to their historical admin systems being able to feed the new modernized systems. Some noted that data from their admin system had to be reconfigured before it was able to be fed and processed by the new modernized valuation system, which was not originally considered in their project plan. Some noted having to create new steps in the financial reporting processes for certain requirements of the disclosures themselves, which added time to the close schedule. Two examples noted were the calculations for the average duration for separate accounts and the cash surrender value for separate accounts. The last data challenge we'll cover today is related to actuarial and valuation data. The first issue noted is consistent across companies that have assumed reinsurance agreements impacted by LDTI. Companies experienced lags in receipt of data from the cedents reporting to the assuming entity. These delays created issues for actuarial valuation as they could not obtain the data they needed in a timely manner for their valuation processes. Some noted they struggled with how to cohort contracts with cash flows in different foreign currencies, as you cannot group contracts that have different currencies in the same cohort. Similar to previous data challenges, obtaining the appropriate reports or output from the valuation systems was challenging and time-consuming to arrive at the appropriate level of detail required for the new disclosures. The next topic is related to a concept of one integrated LFPB reserve, which is new under the standard. Under LDTI, an entity calculates a single reserve that comprises all expected cash flows under the contract, including expected future cash flow payments for claims incurred. This means that the cash flows included in the liability for future policy benefits calculation should reflect the expected final cumulative benefit amount. This final cumulative benefit amount includes estimated future benefits, claim liabilities, liabilities for claims in the course of settlement, liability for incurred but not reported claims, and actual benefits paid. This overall concept and execution of the requirement was a challenge for some companies. There were companies that initially wanted to continue their pre-LDTI calculations, keeping separate reserve amounts to show that the two reserves together were consistent with an integrated LFPB reserve. Prior to adoption, these companies concluded calculating an integrated reserve would be more cost-effective based on the level of effort that would be needed to sustain and support the appropriateness of two separate reserve calculations. Under the new standard, the liability for future policy benefits cannot be less than zero. When net premiums are greater than gross premiums, the net premiums are set equal to gross premiums. The process for flooring the LFPB was challenging for some companies, especially the explanation to stakeholders and analysts. LDTI amends legacy U.S. GAAP for certain market-based options or guarantees associated with deposit or account balance contracts by creating a new term, market risk benefits, or MRBs, for certain contracts or contract features that provide benefits in addition to the contract holder's account balance. Under LDTI, all contracts and contract features that meet the definition of an MRB are recognized at fair value. This change was intended to provide greater uniformity in measuring similar contract features and better reflects their inherent risk and economics. It also better aligns with the fair value measurement of derivatives used to hedge capital market risk. The MRB valuation process requires the full retrospective method be applied. This created additional effort that ranged from evaluating if certain contract features met the definition of an MRB, seeking and exhausting all avenues to find available historical data before defaulting to using hindsight to determine assumptions for the fair value of an MRB, and finalize their calculation of the attributed fee ratio. Next, we will discuss successes experienced by companies during the first quarter of LDTI implementation, specifically related to data. Companies that had the least amount of delays and issues performed multiple dry runs or parallel runs. This could be a dry run of transition disclosures and adjustments, along with dry runs of restated prior quarters and periods. When companies performed these dry runs ahead of implementation, it alleviated some of the delays in the go-live close. Companies that were successful in the execution of adoption also integrated their control processes within their implementation plan and dry runs. This helped identify the required data, attributes, and reports that were needed within the process and identified these items before adoption, which allowed for appropriate design and output. Similarly, integrating the design and source of disclosures into the implementation plan was beneficial. Understanding the steps and processes required to produce disclosures and requirements of financial reporting is essential with the new data requirements and disclosures. Companies that were able to identify if they did have resource constraints earlier in the process were able to secure third-party advisors to assist from the beginning of the project, which led to decreased delays. While this next topic is still evolving for many companies, we did get insights related to management reporting challenges experienced in the first quarter of adoption. I'm going to pass it back to Erica to walk you through the next section.
Thanks, Emily. Now we're going to talk about management reporting, which Emily noted, is an ever-evolving topic as companies are working through implementation. However, the questions that we pose related to this topic were, did the company have any issues or challenges internally related to management reporting as a result of impacts of LDTI? Did LDTI change or create any new KPIs? And were there any issues, challenges related to non-GAAP measures? And lastly, were there any changes or new non-GAAP measures? We broke this slide into two main categories, internal management reporting and KPIs. We anticipate these areas to evolve throughout the year. Internal reporting has been significantly impacted by the adoption of LDTI. Companies had challenges related to being able to thoroughly explain fluctuations as a result of there not being sufficient comparable periods to understand trends. One challenge that could be argued as a benefit is creating internal discussion, as we previously noted, on what the level of granularity and explanation should be presented to senior management and stakeholders. While not necessarily a change, it was noted by multiple companies that there was increased discussion internally related to AOCI as a result of interest rate volatility experienced throughout the period of adoption, which led to discussions about how to explain this movement in conjunction with the adoption of LDTI. In certain instances where companies have runoff or closed blocks of business, they applied simplifications as they anticipated to continually decrease their reserve balance over time. Some companies have identified new non-GAAP measures and or refined their current non-GAAP measures related to the adoption. However, we have not seen a lot of companies with any new non-GAAP measures. Key performance indicators, which is the second topic that we wanted to discuss related to management reporting, have been directly impacted by the adoption of the standard. In many cases, management is still in process at most companies of adjusting and or interpreting the impacts to their KPIs. Areas that this has been noted to impact are budgeting, incentive comp, and persistency and claim ratios. The next topic we're going to talk about is internal controls, which obviously impacts public companies more significantly than private companies, but we will walk through what we heard when we posed the questions of, were there any challenges related to internal controls related to LDTI? An area overall that companies noted took the most effort was related to actuarial and valuation controls, which is not surprising, specifically the precision and documentation of assumptions unlocking controls and the level of granularity related to experience studies. As a result of the new enhanced and detailed disclosures, companies found it challenging to ensure controls are designed and implemented to incorporate all the relevant attributes and at the level of granularity required by the disclosures. Controls related to the analysis of the results of implementation were challenging to design, given the lack of comparable periods and expectations for variances or changes in components. Certain areas of successes related to internal controls were taking a fresh lens approach and leveraging the implementation as an opportunity to improve on the overall control framework and/or modernization of processes and data. Companies experienced benefits leveraging legacy controls for the first quarter of LDTI. If this was done, there were refinements in the design and execution of these controls in order to adapt the new LDTI guidance and requirements. In other instances, new controls were developed. The volume of new controls was overwhelming to some companies, so ensure that you plan extra time for this. It was noted at one company that they implemented over 75 new controls as a result of the LDTI adoption. The next topic we're going to walk through are tips of what worked well for some companies, along with some future improvements that companies intend to continue to develop over the course of year of adoption and potentially into the future. Emily, do you mind walking us through the next set of topics?
Absolutely. Thanks, Erica. So some questions that we posed related to this topic were, was there anything the company could have done differently to prepare for first quarter? Was the company well prepared and ready for Q1 LDTI reporting? Why or why not? And in hindsight, are there any areas where you could have invested more time or resources? And can you expand on some of the lessons learned? As stated previously, overall, the number one action to take away is to ensure you are starting the process as early as possible. One company stated it very well. This is not a compliance exercise. It's an overall transformation of the business and processes. It is imperative to have a comprehensive project plan that is cohesive among all the departments and working groups. Another takeaway is ensuring you have the appropriate resources based on the impact the new standard has on your organization. Some have found designating a PMO to coordinate the project is beneficial, as is making sure all impacted departments are included in the project plan and are active participants in the implementation. It was noted to be most efficient to designate a PMO that has a strong accounting background, as the LDTI concepts are quite technical. Additionally, having the PMO as someone who has ownership of coordination across multiple departments and assists in adjusting the implementation plan as required takes those tasks off of others' plates. In hindsight, some companies noted looking back they should have established a formal decision-making process to incorporate the required approvals from relevant parties or stakeholders. Those that did not found themselves going back to rework decisions that were previously made. The other theme is performing parallel and dry runs of processes and controls and the complete end-to-end process. This includes dedicating time to the data flow between administrative processes, actuarial, financial reporting, management reporting, and general ledger systems to facilitate an efficient and effective process flow and identify any system limitations. Some found it beneficial to also include in these dry runs early drafts of proposed disclosures or draft data and output ahead of the first quarter of implementation for review and feedback. This could include refining transition adjustments and disclosures prior to quarter one and conducting reviews internally and with the external auditor in advance of Q1. As noted before, the aggregation of data and manipulation of data for required disclosures took more time than some companies anticipated. Another key takeaway is to dedicate time related to the aggregation of data, as it is a time-intensive process. As there are many new concepts, terms, calculation, presentation matters, it is imperative that you educate key stakeholders in advance of adoption. As preliminary, draft, or restated amounts are available, it's helpful to share those with internal stakeholders. This can also help alleviate time during the first quarter of adoption if there has been discussion prior to and feedback as to the level of detail stakeholders prefer and what they want to see. Many companies are on a journey to modernize operations, and LDTI has accelerated this for some. The current BAU, or business as usual, process has many challenges related to manual processes and simplifications. As companies move into a more sustainable BAU, there will be more automation and enhancements. And in a final optimal BAU state, processes, including controls, will be highly automated and information will be available on demand. So what does success look like as companies progress from the current BAU towards the optimal BAU? And what are the benefits of this optimization? It will come as no surprise that technology and automation will be crucial to moving towards the optimal BAU status. Legacy systems and applications will need to be modernized. Many companies incorporated this modernization or a portion of it into their LDTI implementation. This can help drive consistency across your organization. New digital solutions will also increase the speed at which companies can develop and transform their processes. As Erica discussed earlier, many companies saw delays to their financial close schedule during the first quarter of LDTI implementation. Companies can use this time of transformation to re-envision and automate the close process and move closer to the optimal BAU state. In an imagined process flow, the financial close is automatically kicked off with the pre-close activities. Data flows into your actuarial model, and the output is used to generate disclosures and management reports. This should happen with no or limited manual intervention. The results would first be touched in the review and sign-off phase of the process. This automation allows your actuaries and accountants to be focused on analysis and value-add activities rather than manual interventions. An automated workflow tool can be used to orchestrate this entire process and document sign-offs throughout. This will allow companies to identify lags in the process or areas that require additional automation or enhancement. The documentation of sign-off will also be useful for both your internal and external audits. Lastly, we will cover areas where some companies are looking to improve throughout the first year of adoption. The topic that came up most frequently, and unsurprisingly, was the automation of processes, controls, and reporting. Many companies had manual processes in place for the first quarter as they did not have sufficient time to appropriately design and execute automated controls before adoption. Another common theme was refining, streamlining, and enhancing management reporting, along with the discussion and explanation of quarterly results and fluctuations. Many companies want to improve their close process to remove delays experienced in the first quarter based on lessons learned. Throughout the first year of adoption, most, if not all, companies surveyed are seeking to continue to refine their impacted KPIs and enhancing the design and execution of controls. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast related to lessons learned and challenges faced as a result of the adoption of LDTI. If you have questions related to the adoption of LDTI or other technical accounting matters, please do not hesitate to reach out or visit our Insurance Accounting Change Hub.